Tune in as author and publisher Joshua Schmoody and renowned talk show host Susan Brinder interview authors, artists, business entrepreneurs, political activists, musicians, and academics to discuss what it means to live the high life. A life of total abundance, joy, passion, and fulfillment. A life where your dreams become realities through the empowering medium of knowledge. Learn something new from book publishing and product distribution, public relations, to politics, psychology, and philosophy. If real-world knowledge interests you, then tune in and start living your higher life today. Hi, everyone. I'm Joshua Schmoody, and I'm here with my co-host, Susan Brinder. And welcome to another episode of High Life, a show where you can start living your best life now through the empowering medium of knowledge. And today we have two very special guests. We have Miss Wanda Rogers and Bethany Scheidler. Are you there, Wanda and Bethany?
Yes, we are.
Thank
you. Good to have you on.
Yes, and I'll tell you something, Wanda and Bethany. You know, it was a very interesting situation when I got in touch with you, Wanda. You said to me, how did you choose us in particular because of your organization? And I said to you, it was just pure luck. And that's how I got them. So, Wanda, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your organization, about yourself, and then jump in, Bethany, because we would love to hear a little bit about what you do and how you got started and why it's such a wonderful organization and that sort of thing. So start off with us, Wanda, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, thank you. It's always fun to share my story because I'm very passionate about it. I have 30 years ago, my last child was born, and she was born with Down syndrome. And so I was basically a stay-at-home mom raising children. And what I started to do is I started attending conferences and workshops and learning anything I could about disabilities to help my daughter become the best self that she could be as I was my other children. So as I got involved, I all of a sudden had a job that was centered around disability issues. And throughout my years, I worked with the school district as a parent advocate. I've worked as a parent advocate within the community, supporting parents and people with disabilities. And then in 1998, I was contacted by a group of service providers about an organization that worked with employers on educating them concerning the employment with people with disabilities. So we started that grant, and then we established a grant, and then they hired me with 15 hours a week. We got an office space at the city of Evanston, and we've been doing this for 21 years. So that's just a little bit about me. I'll let Bethany introduce herself, and then we can talk about the disability in Uinta County.
All right, so my name is Bethany Scheidler, and in 2012, my husband and I had been married for just 2 years and a few days, and we ended up with two kids in our home, two teenage kids that we ended up adopting. Their mother had passed away, and so we took them in. And so that was quite the experience, having two teenagers, being just a few years married. And because of that, I grew a passion for wanting to help youth, especially youth at risk, who needed some extra help. And so when this opportunity to start working with youth at risk and with disabilities came up, I had to jump on it. I knew that was what I needed to do, was to help youth and start mentoring and helping them find mentors.
You know, I'll tell you something, Bethany. You are an amazing person because it's not easy to do what you did. What inspired you to adopt kids? Because I imagine that you could have had your own, and yet you decided that you wanted to give somebody a home, and especially kids at risk.
Especially teenage kids at risk.
That's correct. So what was the inspiration behind that?
Well, the two kids that we adopted, they were actually my husband's brother and sister. They were adopted, actually. My husband's mom had adopted them when they were, 9 and 7. And so when his mom passed away, in her will, she had said that they were going to go to biological aunts and they were going to be separated. And we knew that was not what those kids needed at the time. They needed each other. They were their only, you know, consistent in their life, and they needed each other. And so we just looked at each other and we said, nope, we're going to fight it and do whatever we can to keep the kids together. And we just felt that's what we needed to do.
Yeah. And Wanda, I'm curious about this. How did the two of you get together? You know, you're involved in an amazing program with kids with disabilities. And, you know, the two of you decided to get together now. How did that happen?
It's just an amazing story how it happened. And I truly believe in divine intervention. But I like I said, I've been doing this 21 years, and when I received the grant to do this mentor program for youth at risk in the judicial system, I hired somebody, and she worked with me for a year and helped me establish the program, and then she was going to move on, and you know, and I it's hard to find somebody with passion, and I really, that's what I run on is passion, so I was looking for the same thing, and the person that was working with me says, I know of somebody, I'll have her come in. So Bethany walked in my office, we sat down for 2 minutes, and I knew she was the one. And so that's how we were connected, is through the person that we worked with, that I worked with before, and she introduced us. And we still went through the hiring process because that's kind of what you have to do. But I knew right away that she would be the one. She had the passion, she had a story, and she has done an amazing job and has impacted the lives of many youth and adults as well.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you something. There is a program, it's probably all over the nation, and it's called Ad Litem. And it's about the kids and families who are dealing with situations that are really horrible. I mean, the kids, they don't have any money. Often the parents are not around, and there are people who look after them. And I know one who is just amazing. She goes to the courts and she deals with all the situations that they're involved in. And boy, is that tough. Josh, I'm just curious. Why don't you step in right now and ask both Wanda and Bethany a question, because a lot of people don't really understand the situation about disabilities and what they really are.
No problem. Yeah, I was about to jump in anyway, Susan. I'm glad you asked. And you know, I want to second that, what you said earlier, Wanda, about divine intervention and doing things that you're passionate about. I think that, through my own experience, I know divine intervention is definitely a real thing. And two, you know, if you're not doing something you're passionate about, I don't think you're going to have a happy life. So I think that's key. I think that's even more important than money, you know, is that you're doing something that you're passionate about. If you're doing something you're passionate about, I don't think the money really matters as long as you're able to make a living. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what I was going to ask is, there's an organ in Uneeda County, I believe, correct? Could you tell us a little bit about disability in Uneeda County and what you guys are doing program-wise to kind of help people in these situations?
Yes, well, our program is very unique, and that's what I love about it. Disability in Uneeda County is a part of a national organization called Disability In, where we work with employers on diversifying their workforce. We provide education and support to employers. And so our board consists of employers that kind of provide us the direction and give us the insight of employers and what they're looking for. And then underneath that, we have our Next Gen Mentoring. And we have the Employment Mentoring for Youth with Disabilities, and that's the program I coordinate. And then we have the one-on-one mentoring program that Bethany coordinates.
So you talk about a mentoring program. Give us a kind of an idea of what a mentoring program is involved in. It must be very tough, and it must be really extraordinary to kind of get these kids to understand all the different things that are necessary. So I'm curious, Wanda, to understand a little bit more about your mentoring program.
Well, as I mentioned, I do the employment mentoring. So I contract with two school districts. So we partner together to work with youth with disabilities in providing them employment opportunities. So we'll do like on-site visits so they can learn about different careers in their community. We do a See Do Apply workshop every spring where we provide the youth with an opportunity to do mock interviews. Then we also do summer employment, and then we provide them support according to their individual education plans and according to what their needs are. So we provide mentoring opportunities where they can go out into the community, spend time with an employer, do some career exploration. So Susan and Josh, the neat thing about our program is we start working with youth when they go into the ninth grade. If they participate in our program all through high school, they have 4 summer work experiences. They've had 32 mock interviews. They've been able to have site visits and do some career exploration. And so it really gives them an idea of what they want and what they like. For instance, just one young girl, we placed her at a veterinarian hospital, and she was interested in being just an aide, and so she went there, and they did a small surgery, and it had blood in it, and she fainted, and she realized that she couldn't handle blood, so she knew that that wasn't the career path that she wanted to go down, so she explored other opportunities that are available. So I have to tell you, the driving force behind our mentoring program are our employers. They're our educators. They're the boots on the ground that are helping these youth. I just facilitate that.
Wow. So if they, sorry, Susan, I just wanted to ask this. So, well, two questions, really. The first question is this. You mentioned at risk, disabled and at risk. So I think if I'm not mistaken, addiction is considered a disability if it's severe enough, right? Or does that just depend on where you're living? Because go ahead.
Yes, that would be considered a disability.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So you work with both then. You're working with not just disabled, I don't want to say just disabled, but people who are disabled as well as people who have substance abuse issues. You're helping both sort of types of people get their life together, right?
Right. And, you know, at my program, we work with youth from age 13 to 22 is what we cover. And work with the youth that age group in the
critical
school
age.
District.
Okay, that's a critical age
very
group.
Critical.
So if somebody wants to get involved in the community, I mean, is this a volunteer position, or is this, because you did mention grants earlier as well. So what do if people in the community who want to get involved, maybe educators or employers or people who want to become, you know, a part of this network, I mean, how would they get involved?
Well, you know, as I've mentioned, with us doing this program for 21 years, people, our community, our county is committed to our program. Every October, we have an October celebration where we recognize National Disability Employment Awareness Month and Mentoring Day. And we have approximately about 50 youth that mentor with approximately 50 employers that day. And it's always interesting. They're waiting for my call. I see them on the street. They say, Wanda, when's your mentoring program come up? We want to help out. We want to help out with the mock interviews. And so we are well enough established that people are waiting for me to call them. And when I don't call them, they'll say, you didn't call me this year. How come? And it's kind of like, we kind of try to match the youth according to their interest. And, so the community support, they know, they're familiar with the program, they've been involved with years, so they're waiting for my call. If they don't get it, they call me.
You know, I'll tell you, both Bethany and Wanda, interestingly enough, there were two programs that I kind of did a story about because I felt it was so important for people to know that people with disabilities have opportunities that are just across the board. So let me tell you a little bit of a story. And I think you know about this, Josh, and if you don't know about it, it's pretty interesting. Years and years ago, I had a friend who was a dancer, but she also was a very generous person who decided that her friend's sister, who had autism, needs to kind of get out to do things, to feel that they are people, you know? And this was a very, very disabled person with autism. And she took her to a farm, okay? And she showed her these seeds. And the girl looked at the seeds, and my friend showed her how to plant the seeds. Now, as a matter of fact, at the end, she also had her touch a tomato, okay? And the girl looked at the tomato, and even though she couldn't speak, she said, oh, you know, it was like you could see her face, and it was like, wow, this is fascinating. And as a result of that, my friend started a farm where these young disabled people were able to plant, to start a store, to have a place to live. And it was the most amazing thing, and it continues, and there are hundreds of people doing this. They feel productive, they feel useful and happy. And I'm sure that when you get them started on a special program, that's the way they feel as well. Am I correct on that, Wanda and Bethany?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, just something I want to add to that, Susan, is the fact that we, parents, communities, we limit people with disabilities because we don't have expectation. And I've seen that over and over in the years that I've been doing this. When you open that door up, and yes, sometimes you have to do a lot of exploration to find out what works for that individual, but once you open that door up, you believe in them and you give them opportunities. It's amazing what things can happen.
Yeah, look at Helen Keller. I mean, look at
exactly.
Helen Keller. Straight up. I mean, the world's a different place because of her. So I totally agree.
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead, Bethany.
Well, I was just going to mention my daughter that's 30 years old that has Down syndrome. She has been, you know, we tried to provide a lot of opportunities for her throughout her years, like her other siblings, and trying to find that balancing act. But she's 30 years old. She's married, which was always one of her lifetime dreams. She lives in Salt Lake City, Utah, and she works at home decor, which is part of TJ Maxx. And so, you know, things happened. We had to open those doors, and she loves her life.
Wow. So what are some of the challenges that they have?
My daughter and her husband.
Yes, your daughter and her husband. And also for Wanda, you've seen a lot of people with disabilities. And what are the challenges? Because there must be many. And I'm sure that they have to deal with a lot of stuff, if you will. I'm going to put that in parentheses, stuff.
You know, some of the challenges, the biggest challenges is, of course, you know, they need assistance and they need help. And it's finding people that can provide these services that believe in them, not in the service they're providing, but believe in them and give them the opportunities to live their own life and make their own decisions. Sometimes people want to really help and be caretakers, and that's not what they need. They need people with disabilities, need people that believe in them and let them fail so that they know what success is later on, because we are so afraid to let people with disabilities fail. And by letting them fail and learn like we do, they become better.
Yeah. Bethany, are there prejudices and biases toward these people? Do people make fun of them? Do they say things to them that are really outrageous? You have, you know, your 30-year-old and your other child, too, who might have discussions with you about biases and about prejudice and how it makes them feel.
Yeah, you know, there is always that prejudice. you know, you think of the limitations, everybody thinks of, you know, those outward limitations that they see, and there's always that prejudice out there, and it's just, we got to get past that. We got to realize that these people with disabilities, the youth with disabilities, are people just like you and me. They're not any different. We all have, I like to say, we all have our quirks. We all have our little things that are different from everybody else. And when we can look at that in that light, we can move past those prejudices, and we can treat everybody the same, and know that everybody has value, and everybody has a, so to say, a mission in their life that they need to fulfill.
Yeah. So how are you funded?
Well, we're funded through grants, and we've always been funded through grants. And once again, I will refer to Divine Intervention. We have seen that happen throughout the years as we look at grants, and grants are going away, and will we have this grant for next year? But basically, we have grants through our local school districts, through our Community Service Block Grant, which is a federal program. We have obtain money through the taxes within our community. There's a grant that we apply for. We right now we're running the one-on-one mentoring program through the Office of Juvenile Justice Delinquency Prevention grant that we partnered with Partners for Youth with Disabilities in Boston. So you know, we have partnerships nationwide as well that we've got some money from.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting, again, that you have so many challenges. I mean, with regard to the funding, that must be an enormous challenge for you.
It is, you know, and I know we, as we are working on our budget this year, we've looked at our budget, and we're going to be taking, we're going to lose some funding this year. However, we have got some things in place where we can cut back. We're very fortunate, Bethany and I, we have spouses that provide the insurance and provide us that the comforts of life, where our jobs are just our passion. So we don't have to worry, okay, about insurance. We don't have to worry about if we lose our grant that we're going to lose our home. We're going to lose, you know, we're not going to be able to eat. So that really frees us up to use that energy in seeking funding from other resources.
So yeah. Wanda, are you classified as a nonprofit?
Yes, we are.
So I would assume you guys do take donations as well, correct?
Yes, we do. And you can go to our website if anybody ever wants to donate at di-ucw.org.
Great. di-uc as in Charlie, w as in west.org, correct?
Yes.
And that's D as in David?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, to finish this interview, because we just have a few minutes, I just want you to share a story, a success story, because I want people to know that you have all these challenges, but on the other hand, you must have a success story that kind of leaves us with an idea that whatever you're doing deserves to be funded. And that's the last thing I also want to say. Is there government involved? Are they making it difficult to get funding? Because you just said that you have to cut down. So I'm curious about that. What is happening with the funding and the government? Aren't they helping you?
Well, as I mentioned, we have funding through the Office of Juvenile Justice Delinquency Prevention. That was a 3-year grant. And, of course, we're going to be looking with our other partners for other grants that can continue to run our program. And so that grant was just for 3 years. Sometimes we have the grants that run for 3 years. Sometimes we can renew them. Most of our grants are from year to year that we get that funding from. But, you know, Susan, I want to kind of end this with the highlight and the things that really make our program just wonderful is the fact that our success stories and what we see in the youth. And I'll share one. I'll go ahead and let Bethany share her success story, and then I'll share a success story, and then we'll end with whatever other questions you may have.
Great.
Just for some background on our program a little bit, of where we live and the community that we are involved in. Our whole county consists of 23,000 people. So we are a very small community. And I think that's part of some of our challenges is that we are a small community, a very rural area, which we live in. But because of that small community, we also have a lot of community involvement and we feel very close as a community. And so when there's a need, it seems like our community gets very involved and wants to help as much as possible. But a success story that we have, one of them, and we have many, but is with our one-on-one mentoring program. We have a youth, she is, I think she's 17 now, and she's matched with a mentor, and they mentor all year long, and they meet each other every month and talk and discuss and set goals and help. The mentor helps the mentee in any area of their life that they need help in. And when this youth was matched with her mentor, she was so very shy. I could hardly understand a word that she said. And she was on several different antidepressant medications. Within 6 months of being matched with her mentor, she was a completely different girl. I did not recognize who she was at first. She was happy. She was energetic. She was just so alive. And as I was talking with them at our meeting, she said that within 3 months of being matched, she was off of all of her antidepressant medication.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she was involved in student council at school. And she, this summer, has made Girls All-State. And also this summer, she was the manager for the football team. And so just the change that this youth has overcome because of a mentor in her life. And she contributes it all to her mentor because somebody in her life cared about her enough. That made her feel valued and that her opinions mattered and that she mattered. And on the flip side, the mentor, just after she got matched with this mentee, found out she was diagnosed with a fatal disease. You know, a disease that's going to be with her the rest of her life and will probably take her life eventually. And she said that because of her mentee, on the hard days, that's what gets her through. She thinks of her mentee and how her mentee helped her and how she can help her mentee. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one of those amazing success stories that you just hear. And we have those a lot. We have a lot of those success stories.
Isn't it incredible when people have a purpose that is greater than themselves, how their whole lives seem to change? I've always thought that was fascinating. I think that's the main thing in life. And Wanda, I believe, mentioned that earlier. We need a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose. To be part of something greater than ourselves. I think that's so important.
It is very important.
You know, something, you put a smile on my face when you started to tell the story, Bethany. It's a sensational story of hope, of challenge, of life, and happiness. And we love those stories because when somebody feels passionate about something and there are people like you out there who want to help them, it is an amazing story, and I love it. And last but not least, if you can make it quick, I would love, Wanda, to tell us your success story.
Yes. Well, as we talked about at the first of the podcast, is that I do the employment piece. So we do the mentoring, the career exploration, and the summer employment. And one young man that has graduated and gone on to college has participated in our program. And sometimes it's hard to kind of find out the impact that the program has, but his mom has served on my board of directors. And in talking with his mom, she has told us the challenges that he has faced, but due to the opportunities he had throughout his high school,
of mentoring and employment and career exploration, he was able to overcome some of those obstacles. Like when he interviews for a job, because of the 34 mock interviews he had, he was able to go and interview and feel a lot more comfortable than his sister who didn't have that opportunity. Another thing is, as he put together his resume, employers were surprised at his young age that he had so much on his resume, but that's because he worked, had those summer work experiences and was out there and learned the value of work. And the beauty of our program, Susan and Josh, is the fact that we start working with some of these youth when they're going into ninth grade. So we can identify year to year what they struggle with in work, if it's their work ethics, if it's understanding jobs, or what they need help with. So we're able to help them throughout that four-year process so that they can be better prepared as they go out into the world.
Right. Well, this leads us to you're telling us a little bit more about how people get in touch with you. And Josh, after that, please take us out, because I think that if we share this story with a lot of people, they're going to just love it. So,
oh, yeah.
Yep. So how did they get in touch with you, Rhonda?
You know, you can contact me at my office at 307-783-6302. You can go to our website at di-ucw.org. So that's disability in, like, and then dash unicountywyoming.org. And then also my email address is director@di-ucw.org.
Okay, take us out, Josh.
Thank you so much for coming on, Wanda and Bethany. This was a great interview. I really am inspired by the work that you do and the stories that you shared. And it's very touching to know that there's people out there that care. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, we appreciate you connecting with us, Susan, and reaching out to us and giving us this opportunity.
No problem. Well, listen, guys, remember, knowledge is power. Until next time, take care.
The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represent the subject before acting on any information or advice. The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site or podcast. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represents the subject before acting on any information or advice. Thank you.
Three.
Two,
one.
There you go.